Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Poole, and my guest today is Scott Ritter. And Scott is going to talk about Liz Cheney and her desire for truth. I think this whole thing is pretty interesting because back in the early 2000s, when her father was vice president, he told a lie, and everybody just fell in line and believed it, and people were killed. And now Liz Cheney is ousted because of her desire to tell the truth. And, you know, why I think this show is so important, because back in the early 2000s, you were on TV, you were in the media saying that WMD was not true. So can you talk about your feelings today about Liz Cheney, what's happening now, and what happened then with the father?
Well, understand this, that Liz Cheney would not exist as a political being without her father. In and of herself, she is nothing. I don't mean that belittling her as a human being, but from a political standpoint, she has no constituency that derives solely from her being, from her presence, from her political resume. She exists because of her father. Her father exercised great nepotism, bringing her into the State Department and allowing her to run some very high-profile programs in the State Department during the administration of George W. Bush, beefing up her resume, establishing her credentials as a neoconservative. And then, you know, she rode on her father's coattails to become a politician. She had a failed run for the Senate in Wyoming, but then she was successful in taking her father's seat. Her father's former seat as Wyoming's sole congressional representative. She has a strong conservative voting record, but again, Liz Cheney only exists because of her father, and she has bought into the biggest lie told in modern American history. People need to understand that the lie about weapons of mass destruction that got us involved in Iraq, which got us involved in, you know, forever wars in the region, which are, you know, largely to the blame for the instability we witness in the Middle East today. This is her father and her by extension. And so the notion that Liz Cheney is somehow the spokesperson for honesty, integrity, and truth-telling is as absurd as it can come. She may be on the right side of history when it comes to talking about the events around 2020 and January 6th, et cetera. But to be honest, she doesn't know. She has not conducted a full investigation. She has taken a path based upon a simple decision to side with the Democrats in their interpretation of what occurred in the 2020 election. I would challenge Liz Cheney to read the Newsweek article that exposes the bragging done by a variety of left-wing actors and operatives as they talk about manipulating the American electoral system to achieve an outcome that was extra constitutional. I'm not going to say unconstitutional, but it was outside the framework that the Constitution sets up for the conduct of American elections, especially at the national level. And so when people say, I'm uncomfortable with the results of the 2020 election, I'm uncomfortable with the process, that it may not be as legitimate as everybody's saying, this is not the big lie. The big lie was that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. This is a point of view that may be wrong, but it's not unconstitutional to have concerns and to ask that these concerns be investigated. The Democrats, who are afraid of anybody turning that rock over and taking a deep dive, have basically painted everybody who questions the outcome of the 2020 election as, you know, insurrectionists, traitors, treasonous, unconstitutional. No. So not only is Liz Cheney a bad person, she is, a bad politician for what she stands for, this notion of anointing her as a saint because she has taken a brave, courageous decision about the election of 2020 is false. She may be right, but it isn't her stand, you know, taking that position does not make her automatically right, and it does not, you know, turn her into this great moral leader. She's not. End of story.
You know, when back in the early 2000s, when you were talking about, you know, that the weapons of mass destruction were untrue, and no, I didn't see many outlets labeling you as a hero, labeling you as courageous. They just, like, blocked you out from the mainstream media. And now Liz Cheney, because of her stance, everybody's calling her, you know, a heroine. What she's doing is, you know, morally correct. And I think there's such a dichotomy between the two people and the two events. What's your take?
Well, I mean, you know, history, I think, has shown that, you know, the stance I took was not only morally correct, but factually correct. I have yet to be contradicted on any factual basis in terms of the position I took leading up to the war in Iraq about the non-existence of weapons of mass destruction and the failure of the Bush administration to back up its assertions that these weapons exist with any factual basis. This was purely a lie, a big lie being sold to the American public to sustain an argument for a war, not to disarm Iraq, but to get rid of Saddam Hussein. You know, so I'm comfortable where history puts me in on that. The other difference is, unlike Liz Cheney, who, you know, has not done any in-depth research into her position, she's just taken a position because it puts her at in the political opposite. She's taken a politically expedient position in opposition to Donald Trump. I mean, that's what her goal is. Her goal isn't to say, I have researched this, I'm 100% certain in what I'm talking about, therefore I'm taking this stand. Her goal is to oppose Donald Trump for political reasons. I made an apolitical decision based upon 7 years of on-the-ground experience in Iraq, disarming Iraq. When I made a statement about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction capabilities, it wasn't a guess. It was a statement of certainty derived from facts based upon personal experience. So there's a huge difference between the foundation of my stance back in 2002, 2003, and the foundation of Liz Cheney's stance today. The other thing I'll say is history won't treat her kind. Today, you know, we have, ironically, left-wing-leaning media establishments touting her, you know, her courage and making her out to be something she isn't. You know, and they will dump her in a heartbeat because she has no political future. She is done. She thinks she can rally people around her in the Republican Party and create some sort of, a counterpart to the grip that Donald Trump holds on the Republican Party today. And she is wrong. There will be very few people rallying to her. And after the 2022 elections, there will be nobody rallying to her because anybody that supports her will be voted out of office. I'm not sitting here singing Donald Trump's praises. I'm not saying that he is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm simply stating reality. Donald Trump is the heart and soul of the Republican Party today. There is no counter to Donald Trump. There is no alternative. There is no senator, governor, or national leader who affiliates with the Republican Party that can stand up and take Donald Trump on in a primary election. If Donald Trump chooses to run for for the Republican nomination in 2024, it's his right now because there's nobody there that can oppose him. Liz Cheney isn't that person. She isn't going to be around much longer. She is a has-been. She had her moment. It's gone.
You know, 4 years of Donald Trump, he was an executive during a pandemic that we haven't seen in over 100 years, and I just think that was an awful, awful thing. And my opinion, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I see Donald Trump as an empty suit, but yet the Republican Party is falling all over him. Explain that to me.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. He's an empty suit in terms of being your traditional politician. And he's also a man that has zero gravitas when it comes to the traditional tools of statesmanship. He doesn't know how to govern. What he does know how to do is shake up the system. And I think that's his I think that's the attraction. I think for many Americans, they're tired of your traditional politicians who are polished, who say all the right things, who appear to do all the right things, who stand up and campaign with their perfect teeth and their perfect smile and their perfect resumes and their perfect tax returns, and they blow smoke at the American people, and then the American people vote for them, and then once they get in office, they ignore the people that voted for them, and they do what they always do, which is to kowtow to the moneyed special interests. Donald Trump broke that mold. So I agree with you that from a traditional political standpoint, he's an empty suit. But as an agent of change, he is unique in American history. He is unique. We've had populist leaders run for office before. William Jennings Bryan famously did it back in the 19th century. But he didn't get elected. He got nominated, but he never made it to the White House. Donald Trump made it to the White House. That's unique in American history. He called himself a Republican, but he's not a Republican. In fact, for many years, he was a Democrat. Donald Trump is as independent as you can get. Donald Trump exists for Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone. He doesn't have traditional Republican values. That's why Liz Cheney is opposed to him, because, you know, she stands for this neoconservative wing that came to the forefront when George W. Bush won the White House and held it for 8 years when her father was the vice president. That wing is gone, destroyed, crushed, flushed down the toilet of history, never to rise again. That's why anybody who says Liz Cheney is the future doesn't know what they're talking about. America will not go back to the neoconservative wing. Right now, the Republican Party is in a turmoil because Donald Trump has stepped forward as an agent of change, and he has captured the imagination of tens of millions of Americans. And this is an electoral constituency that no other Republican politician has. And it'll be interesting to see if the Democrats can, sustain the unity that appeared to give them the presidency in November 2020. They will probably lose Congress in 2022. And as a result, the last 2 years of a Biden-Harris presidency will be, more paralysis, and that will probably pave the way for the Republicans taking the White House. And I said, if Donald Trump chooses to run, he may win the White House again, not because he's this wonderful politician, but because he's an agent of change at a time when Americans are demanding change.
But the establishment in Washington, as probably the establishment in every state in this country, does not like change. They like things the way they are, the status quo, where there's a handful of people deciding who gets what and what's going to pass. So when I see the McCarthys of the world kowtow to Trump, that really surprises me, because I would have thought that they would be resistant to him rather than embracing him. What do you think?
No, I mean, again, logically, you're absolutely correct. Logically, your mainstream Republican should and would want to have nothing to do with Donald Trump. The problem is that mainstream Republican establishment thinking ran for presidency in 2015, 2016, 17 of them, and they got crushed by Donald Trump. He destroyed them because they stand for nothing. They represent nothing. They've been exposed purveyors of the big political lie, people who say one thing, do another. So Donald Trump came in and wiped the field with them. They're done. They're finished. And there's nobody who has emerged with any sort of political gravitas within the Republican Party that could stand up to Donald Trump. Anybody who attempts to stand up to him will be destroyed because they stand for nothing, including McCarthy. He is so weak, so miserable as a human being and a politician that even though he despises Donald Trump, he crawls to him, kisses his ring, because he recognizes the reality that this is the center of gravity. Whether he likes it or not, that's the center of gravity. And he doesn't have the moral courage to stand up and confront, because if he did, what is happening to Liz Cheney would happen to him. Any Republican who stands up and attempts to take Donald Trump on head on will be sent packing. That's just the way it is. There's nobody right now that that has what it takes to take him on. And I view this as a bad thing. Again, I'm a big proponent of an agent of change, but any agent of change should have an idea of how they're going to build a new a new future. Donald Trump doesn't have a vision. He's not a visionary. He's a man who comes in and disrupts, but he doesn't have a vision where we're going. We're at a point right now where these voters who support him aren't looking that forward. They're simply looking at him as an agent of change, a man who claims to stand for them, and they buy into that because the politicians they've been voting for decades aren't standing for them. That, that's the other reality, is that all these people that get elected to Washington, D.C., go to Washington, D.C., and they get caught in the money trap. I mean, if you're a representative, the first thing you do after getting sworn in is go to a phone bank and begin raising money for your election in 2 years. That's your number one priority, is to raise money so that you can get reelected in 2 years, as opposed to your number one priority being to faithfully execute the intent of your constituents who put you in office, to go in and pass laws, make change, do things that are good for the people. Instead, they have to go raise money, which means they're kowtowing to special interests, and that's who they represent. And this is the most well-meaning representative does exactly this from day one. Senators get a six-year break. But trust me, they're raising money the whole time as well, the way it is. And there are many American voters who are fed up with this. I will put a dime to a dollar that says many of the Democrats who voted for Biden will be rejecting a Biden-Harris or whatever the establishment ticket is in 2024 because they aren't getting the change that they wanted. They will say, we were lied to yet again, and they will be looking for an agent of change, somebody who's going to shake things up, a Democratic version of Donald Trump. That's just the reality of American politics today. The establishment has failed egregiously, and and nobody's emerging from within the establishment that can capture the imagination of the American people.
When you talk about the left, what's really astounding to me is AOC. AOC came in as a firebrand. Now she's capitulating everything to Nancy Pelosi. So she's part of the problem rather than shaking up the system. What do you think?
Well, I mean, this is what happens. I mean, her politics aren't my cup of tea, but I respected the fact that she came in there and tried to shake things up. That's what she's supposed to do. I mean, that's exactly what she's supposed to do. But unfortunately, you know, she's run, you know, head on into the reality. If AOC wants to be on the committees that count, if AOC wants to make sure that her voice is heard beyond her Instagram account or her Twitter account, that her voice is heard on the floor, you know, get, you know, as a major voice on committee, that she's sitting on the right, you know, councils advising people, she has to play the game. And so, you know, she recognizes now that her job is to help promote the Biden, you know, American Jobs Program, that's where she's at. Even though she may not agree with, you know, 50% of what Biden's trying to do, she has to play the game now. So this is, you know, the reality of Washington, D.C. has corrupted her. I mean, America needs to go watch, you know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, you know, the Jimmy Stewart movie. You know, it's true. Washington, D.C. breaks every American politician it sends there, every single one of them.
That's a pretty powerful statement. If that's the case, nothing will ever change, right?
Well, if we keep the same, you know, paradigm in place, yeah, nothing will ever change. But people know what needs to happen. We know what the problem. The problem is money. Problem is the money that's used to underwrite elections. Everybody knows this. When the Supreme Court passed, made a ruling on Citizens United, they destroyed American democracy. When you treat a corporation as the equivalent as a person, when it comes to freedom of speech and the ability to donate money to elections, you destroyed American democracy. That's the end of American democracy, plain and simple. That decision must be overturned, and new laws put in place that limit and eliminate corporate money. I would say eliminate private money. We should basically be drawing upon the U.S. taxpayer to come up with a set sum that's available to everybody who qualifies for election, and that's the limit of their, you know, of their budget. That needs to be the law. End of story. Because if you do that, then it's going to be ideas that count, not the money that counts. And as soon as you make ideas count more than money, we might actually break the gridlock that exists in Washington, D.C. today. But as things stand, because Washington, D.C. is all about the money, you send the most well-meaning politician to Washington, D.C. to survive. They must become about the money. Therefore, they are broken. You can't point to a single politician that this does not apply to, with the exception of one, Donald Trump. Because he didn't need anybody's money.
So if the election was held today and the Republicans took back the House, do you think Kevin McCarthy will be the next speaker?
I think if Kevin McCarthy continues to be loyal to Donald Trump and passes that litmus test, Donald Trump will keep him on as and remember, and notice what I'm saying. Donald Trump will keep him on as the senior. He'll become the next speaker. It's not going to be the members of Congress. It's going to be Donald Trump. Donald Trump will speak, and the members of Congress who want to be members of Congress in 2024 will do what Donald Trump says, because there is no one of substance in the Republican Party that can challenge Donald Trump today. No one.
Wow.
In fact, the only hope the Republican Party has is that some of these criminal cases against Trump stick and tie him up so much that he is either discredited to the point that his voice no longer matters, or otherwise, you know, distracted so that he can't be engaged politically. That's the only hope the Republican Party has. And I will tell you this. Donald Trump probably has some great lawyers who know how to tie up the legal system.
Wow.
So anybody expecting a quick resolution to Donald Trump's legal issues, think again. These will be dragged out. Some will be dragged out past 2022. And if the Republicans seize the House, that will have an impact on things. Donald Trump is one of the great survivors, and he survived bankruptcies that would have crushed any normal human being, and emerged unscathed. And he's going through a test right now. I can't guarantee that he's going to survive this, but what I can say is, if you're betting against Donald Trump, I'd hedge that bet, because I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in one basket voting against Donald Trump. He's a great survivor, and as I said, the Republican Party at this point in time can't afford to lose him. So it's not that he's going to be by himself. The Republican Party has no choice but to rally around him, and that creates some political impetus, some political center of gravity that influences how things are done in America. I mean, we'd like to believe that justice is blind. We know it isn't. And, as long as Donald Trump has his finger on the levers of power, I just wouldn't vote against – I wouldn't bet against him.
So we have a minute left, but this is an important issue that's happening in New York State. New York State is going to lose one congressional district. Do you think it's possible they might try, if it's an independent body that decides how the reapportionment will happen, do you think there's a possibility that Stefanik will not be in Congress within the next few years?
Well, I mean, it's a possibility that Stefanik's district will be gerrymandered by the Democrats in an effort to force her to, she would lose her seat and force her to run for a different seat. This is American politics. This is just the way it is. Believe me, the Republicans are doing the same thing to Democrats in Republican-controlled states. At least Stefanik has been elevated to a point where there's a giant target on her back, and I would say that she may find herself running in a special election. What I will say is that because she has the support of Donald Trump, and she has stood up and done right by what constitutes the Republican Party today, she will be able to attract a lot of money. Therefore she will be competitive with whomever the Democrats choose to put up against her. But at least Stefanik has got some interesting times ahead of her politically.
So, Scott, we're out of time. I always enjoy talking to you. You have been listening to Scott Ritter. This is All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. So if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Scott, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.